Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today. I really appreciate it. Today, our show, we proudly welcome Mr. David Harris, the CEO of Prosperident. It's the world's largest dental embezzlement investigation firm. So we're going to bring Mr. Harris on the line here in just a second. But before we do, a little bit of housekeeping. Do me a favor and go to our Facebook page, Dr. Kvitko Metnes and Associates, and like us. We'd appreciate that. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Kvitko. Now, today I'd like to invite everybody to come and visit me and my staff at the Women's Expo. It's April 28th. It's at the Lausche Building at the fairgrounds. I have my rolling studio right inside the building. We were there yesterday as well. It was a lot of fun. Several of you came up to say hi and meet us in person, and we really appreciate that. And so today it's a little bit of a rainy day, and there's a good reason to come and, you know, visit us because it's not so nice outside like it was yesterday. So here you can come in and have a lot of fun. Also, if you'd go to the Dr. Kvitko Charitable Fund and donate, we'd appreciate that. You get there by going to dentallyspeaking.com or drkvitko.com. Promise to put the money to good use by funding my Dentistry from the Heart event, June 14th, and the Team Smile event, which is May 3rd, or my 7th annual Dr. Kvitko Golf Classic golf outing. Now, speaking of Team Smile, we need a number of dentists and dental hygienists and dental assistants and actually just regular folks still to help us out with this May 3rd event. Now, keep in mind what it is 250 children will receive free dental care. It is in conjunction with the Blue Jackets. It will be held at Nationwide Arena. It's funded by the Delta Dental Foundation. And actually, let me correct myself. It's the Blue Jackets Foundation, not the Blue Jackets. It's their foundation that is helping make this happen. So you can go to teamsmile.org, go to volunteer, then volunteer now, choose the Columbus Blue Jackets, and get yourself signed up. Now, last night, late, literally about 10 o'clock last night, I got an email from the national director of Team Smile saying that our DJ had fallen through, that we thought we had a DJ all lined up. I'm working in the background to get a DJ, and who knows, we may be okay. But if just in case, if you're a DJ and you're willing to come and work for free and entertain these kids while they're waiting to get their free dental care, please call me. You can call 262-9588 and tell my answering service that I want to be paged. How's that? Okay. So let's get on to today's show topic. As I said, I'm proud to have Mr. David Harris on the phone with me today. Let me tell you a little bit about him first. Mr. Harris is CEO of Prosperident, the world's largest dental embezzlement investigation firm. Prosperident's team of specialized investigators is consulted on hundreds of frauds annually committed against both general dentists and dental specialists. Mr. Harris has had the distinct pleasure of hearing cell doors slam shut on many embezzlers. So he puts people away for this. This is great. He is a licensed private investigator and also has an undergraduate business degree and a graduate degree in applied business mathematics and possesses professional designations in accounting, dental consulting, and banking. Mr. Harris is a member of the Academy of Dental Management Consultants. He has been interviewed on the subject of fraud by many dental publications, including the Dental Tribune, which dubbed him the Dental Embezzlement Guru, Dental Town, the Progressive Dentist, and Impact, the magazine of the Academy of General Dentistry. He is also a prolific writer and co-authors a dozen or more articles annually that appear in these and other dental publications. Mr. Harris has also lectured at several U.S. and Canadian universities in the faculties of business, law, and dentistry. He has spoken at regional, national, and international dental conferences and is a highly entertaining and engaging speaker who draws on a vast amount of experience in his field. So, Mr. Harris, thank you for being on my show today.
Well, it's great to be here, Dr. Kvitko.
I really appreciate it. You're calling from where?
I live in Halifax, which is on the east coast of Canada.
Okay. East Coast. All right. So that's like due north of New York City or something.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Okay. And now, you know, as I told you earlier, and when I learned about your company, I'm very intrigued because, first of all, I didn't know that there was that much embezzling going on from dentists to where there could be a company that specializes in it. Is it that prevalent?
It is. There's a fair number of research papers that have been published on the prevalence of embezzlement in dentistry. The numbers vary a little bit, but they all suggest that the lifetime probability of a dentist being a victim is something between 50 and 60%.
Wow. More than half?
More than half.
Which means I may have already been embezzled from and didn't catch it?
If you haven't been so far, the chances are that in the rest of your career you will be.
Oh, boy. I don't even know how, hopefully I'm going to learn some things about how I can protect myself and how I can go about discovering that. Because I see every once in a while in the news where an office manager or some front desk person is going to jail because they were embezzling from their dentist. And it looks to me like you're pretty much behind just about all of those that I see in the media. Is that pretty much the case?
I'm not sure what you see in the media, but we're involved in hundreds of matters annually, and we do get to see some people go to jail.
Now, I'm wondering, and maybe you don't want to do exact numbers, but if a dentist thinks that they might be being embezzled from, or let's say now I'm just nervous because of what you just told me, what kind of cost will I be looking at to hire yourself or a company to find out, and how long does an investigation usually take? Because obviously, the dentist, they suspect, but they don't know, so there's always that chance they could spend a little bit of money and find out, nope, you're just poor. Nobody's stealing from you. You're just poor.
That's true. There is that chance. Before we do an investigation, we normally try to triage a little bit. In other words, one of our senior people speaks with the dentist, sees what they're observing, and tries to help them determine whether it is really embezzlement or it's just either paranoia or, as you say, advanced poverty.
Yeah, they've been working hard and think they should have more money, but somehow it's not translating into money in their pocket.
Exactly. And we've all met dentists who do a lot of work each day and don't have a lot to show for it. And there are lots of other potential causes besides embezzlement.
Well,
what we try to do is to make sure that there's at least enough smoke to let us believe that there might be fire before we do anything with somebody that's going to cost them a lot of money.
Okay.
Investigation cost starts at about $5,000 and can increase beyond that based on various factors that increase the complexity of the investigation. For
okay.
example, if you have two dentists working in an office, there's obviously more work in investigating that than if it's a solo practitioner. If you have three satellite offices plus a main office, that's more work than just doing an investigation for somebody who's only got one location. Most of the preliminary investigations that we do, and the preliminary investigations are to resolve the question of whether it's actually happening or not, are done on a flat fee basis. So we talk to somebody, we look at their situation, and we give them a flat quote.
I see. Okay. Now, what about, would you call it, let's put it this way, as I've been in business for 34 years, and over that time, as you can imagine, I've had several different office managers, several different front desk coordinators, and so on. And when somebody leaves, and somebody that I loved and thought they were doing a great job, and then somebody new comes in, we'll invariably find a batch of patients who will discover that their balance was written off, maybe because of a favor by the office manager. Maybe they like that person, or they had their favorites. And we've even gotten calls from patients who were now upset with us because we've sent them a bill for something, and they would say, yeah, I'll make up a name. Well, Joyce used to write that off. Is that embezzlement too?
The granting of favors to patients, I don't think meets the technical definition of embezzlement. I mean, embezzlement normally means that an employee is stealing money from you, and if they're simply giving away your money to some third party, which is what that sounds like, I don't think it meets the formal definition of embezzlement.
So unless the money's going back to them somehow, being funneled, then it's not embezzlement.
That's right. There has to be some concept of benefit to them. So, you know, if there's another side to that deal, for example, you know, they write off the bill of somebody who's in the business of fixing cars, and that person goes and fixes the office manager's car and doesn't charge, then maybe we're back to embezzlement.
Oh, okay.
I think whether it meets the definition of embezzlement or not is to some extent a side issue. The real question for me is that proper behavior on the part of the office manager?
No, it's not, but if I could do all of the jobs, I would, and I can't. I'm in the back room taking out wisdom teeth or placing an implant or doing a root canal, and I'm assuming that people are doing their job as I've laid it out for them.
You're absolutely right. Dentistry couldn't function without delegation.
Right.
And that's probably one of the reasons that the number of dentists who become embezzlement victims is so high.
Yeah.
Because you obviously can't do it all yourself. The concern I would have, though, in a situation like that is I'm wondering if the write-off is really a symptom of something bigger going on. And let me put a scenario on you. Perhaps the patient actually did pay.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it's shown as a write-off simply to take that amount off the books so that it can be pocketed by somebody.
I see. Okay. Especially if they've paid cash or something, which doesn't happen often, but sometimes it does.
One of the big myths that I encounter is that the only thing that thieves steal is cash. I will tell you that every day we see thieves in dental offices stealing checks payable to the dentist or doing some kind of tampering with credit card payments so that they can steal that way.
I can't even cash my own check. How does somebody else cash a check that was made out to me and they're trying to cash it? I mean, it's gotten
well,
so...
That's a really good question. Unfortunately, it's not one I'm prepared to answer here.
Oh,
and
okay.
The reason is that my recurrent nightmare is I end up giving away information that will turn thieves into better thieves.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Maybe you
so
can tell me off the air.
I won't answer it. What I'll say is that there are a number of ways to do that.
Okay.
And a thief with a little bit of creativity and imagination and most of the thieves we see have those qualities in abundance, we'll find a way.
Wow, that's interesting. Maybe off the air or something or on a phone call later while you can just kind of tell me because I'm just curious.
You're free to ask me off the air.
Okay, okay. Hey, Mr. Harris, we have to go to our first commercial break and love if you can hang with us. Can you hang with us?
Certainly.
Okay. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
If you love Asian cuisine, you owe it to yourself to try Wang's Teriyaki Asian Takeout Restaurant. Known for their better quality and lower prices, at Wang's Teriyaki, you can eat in, pick up your food for carryout, or let them deliver their delicious entrees right to your home, as fresh as if the chef cooked it on the grill right in front of you. Wang's Teriyaki is conveniently located at 4330 North High Street in Clintonville. Call them at 614-261-8881. That's 614-261-8881. Wang's Teriyaki, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Decide Dentistry, the leader in high-quality cosmetic and restorative dentistry in Central Ohio, now offers the latest technology, Fast Braces. It's fast, safe, and affordable compared to traditional braces. This new technology of Fast Braces allows for less treatment time, and that means the patients save time and money, achieving the best smile possible. Dr. Desai is also a provider of six-month smiles and Invisalign. She's very well known for her crown and bridge work, too. Visit DesaiDentistry.com. Dr. Desai Dentistry, brightening lives one smile at a time.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
All right, welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I'm with Mr. David Harris, the CEO of Prosperident. It is the largest private investigation firm dealing with dental embezzlement. He's been called the Dental Embezzlement Guru. And this is an interesting topic, and this show is show number 277, and I'm a little surprised that it's taken me this long to cover this, but mostly because I wasn't aware that it was so prevalent. So, and before the break, we talked about You said that about 60% of dentists have been embezzled from?
What I said was the chance of in their career that they'll be embezzled from is about 60%. So,
Okay.
The percentage who have been embezzled so far is a little bit smaller, of course, because there are people who haven't been embezzled from yet, but will be in the rest of their career.
Got it. So we'll go with 60% because that's going to be over my career. That's going to be the chances. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Maybe I should shut the door now, and then I'll I can beat the odds. Then I'll be out of
income. Walk away as one of the 40.
Yeah. It's like going to Las Vegas and cutting your losses, right? Anyway.
It is.
Okay. So now, can you tell me some interesting cases you've been involved in? I know you can't use any identifying information, and you certainly don't want to teach the bad people how to be even worse. But just kind of like, you know, some synopsises or something.
Okay, maybe what I could talk about would be the types of embezzlers that we see.
Okay.
And we see thieves who really fall into two categories, and we call them the needy and the greedy. And the needy people are people who for some reason have gotten themselves in a financial bind to the point where their basic existence is threatened.
Got it.
And there could be a lot of causes. It could be a spouse losing their job. It could be some kind of compulsive behavior, you know, either gambling or drugs or something.
Right.
Or in some cases, it's a situation where there's a divorce that's exerting the financial pressure. But a lot of these people are a payment or two behind on their mortgage, and they're in a situation where they can see themselves about to lose their house.
Okay.
And I think we can all understand that at some level of financial pressure, everybody's ethics become pliable. And the route that these people choose to follow is to steal from the dentist.
I like that phrase, their ethics become pliable. Did you make that up? That's pretty... That's like, yeah, so they were raised with a certain set of morals and values, but now they're willing to bend those.
Exactly. The second group, the ones I call greedy, are a little bit different. These people, first of all, tend to be quite bright. They're, in the words of one of my victims, far smarter than they actually need to be to do their job.
Okay.
And I think if I had to characterize them, these are people really waiting for society to discover them and properly reward their considerable talents.
Okay, got it. They feel underappreciated.
They feel underappreciated, and at some point they decide to address it themselves.
Oh, okay. Just promote themselves.
And these people are a little bit different than the needy ones in the way they spend their money. They tend to spend it on what I would call conspicuous consumption. I mean, there was one situation a couple of years ago where somebody making probably $45,000 a year chartered a plane, flew six of her girlfriends to New York for an all-expenses-paid shopping weekend.
Well, that in and of itself should get you noticed, if nothing else.
Yeah, nervous would be an understatement.
Well, noticed. Somebody's going to go, where'd that money come from? You make $45,000 a year.
That's right. These people are spending, I'm not a psychologist, but my theory is that the spending is what makes them feel important as humans.
Okay.
And I think to some extent, they're looking at their dentist, and possibly with justification, they consider themselves to be the intellectual peer of the dentist. And it just seems manifestly unfair to them that the dentist makes many times what they do. And of course, they forget about the sacrifices that the dentist made to get there, the financial risks, the education the dentist has and everything else, and they just don't at that point see the fairness, and they decide to address it themselves.
Okay. That would be the greedy.
The other thing I'll say about the embezzlers that sometimes surprises people is that there is this creature called the serial embezzler.
They go from office to office?
This is the person who moves from office to office and steals from each one. There was one such embezzler we were investigating a few years ago, and in the course of about 3.5 years, she worked in 13 different dental practices in the same city
and
stole from every one of them.
Now, see, I wouldn't have hired her because of I would see that she hops around. 13 different offices in a short period of time tells me, why would I invest in this person because they're not going to stay?
That's assuming, of course, that you have that information.
Oh, they don't tell. It's not on the resume. Got it.
They're pretty good, usually, at concealing their tainted past.
Okay.
And, you know, if I were applying for work for you, I wouldn't necessarily list that kind of employment history, and I would do what I could to make it a little bit difficult for you to find out my true story.
Okay.
So we do have these serial embezzlers, but they actually account for less than 15% of the embezzlement that we investigate.
Okay. And would you say that most of them are the needy or most of them are the greedy?
They tend to be the greedy ones, but I guess it's possible that they could fall on either side.
Okay.
What I'm really getting at, though, is that the vast majority of embezzlement is carried out by people who have worked for a dentist for a long period of time. And for whatever reason, they wake up one morning and say, today's the day I'm going to steal from my dentist.
Wow.
They have no checkered past in terms of either employment history or a criminal record. And their typical seniority at their current office is more than 5 years.
Okay. Interesting. Wow.
In other words, Dr. K, sometimes people think that the reason they get embezzled is that they make bad hiring decisions.
Right.
Whereas I think in most cases that it wasn't a hiring decision at all. In fact, I think that the person who ultimately ended up stealing had no idea at the time they were hired by the dentist that someday they might steal.
Interesting. Wow.
But something happened between the date of hiring and when they start stealing that kind of pushed them into it.
You know, I had this hygienist that worked for me for a short while, and this is a little bit off the subject, but she was showing me some pictures of her Christmas party at the previous office that she was working at, and she was kind of sneering at the nice house that the dentist had. It was a periodontist, but she was making $75,000 a year, and yet she was begrudging him his success. So it doesn't seem to matter what you pay a person, does it? It still happens.
It still happens, and thank you. You've touched on another one of the myths that I run into a lot. One of the things that a lot of dentists believe is that if I pay my employees well, they won't steal from me.
You would think so.
You might. Unfortunately, it isn't held up in reality. We actually see an inverse correlation between how well people are paid and their propensity to steal. In other words, the more you pay them, the more likely it is they will steal from you.
Wow. Okay, everybody just gets a pay cut tomorrow. Hope they're not listening.
Yeah, I'm gonna create some unhappy people in Ohio through this, aren't I?
No, I wouldn't do that. But I will be very. I mean, I'm gonna kind of. I think I have my finger on the pulse anyway. But then I don't want to sound like one of those parents that says my kid would never do that. You know, because I think that would be too easy to do. And I do kind of watch, but you're right. If they're writing things off and there's a deal, back deal that I don't know about, I just don't know about it. There's no way for me to know.
Well, let me give you my theory about why this unexpected relationship is so. And it goes like this. Thieves can steal a very typical number we see is something between 3 and 5% of monthly gross. In other words, if a dentist is bringing in $80,000 a month, a thief is stealing somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 a month.
That's like double the salary of the example you gave.
Exactly. So the point of this is that if you pay your employees an extra $2 an hour and you think that's going to scratch the itch of a thief, you're really underestimating the depth of their need.
Because $2 an hour is only about $4,100 a year.
That's right.
So that is amazing. That's an amazing number because most people would be happy with a $2 an hour raise, and that's only 10% of what these people are stealing.
That's right.
Wow.
It's not that anybody's unhappy with a $2 an hour raise. It's just that it does not cover the amount that these people have decided that they need. There was one case that we investigated a couple of years ago, and it was a fairly significant embezzlement. This was in a multiple dentist office. The thief was stealing something in the ballpark of $7,000 a month, and that amount was pretty constant. The thief's methodologies would vary over time, but the amount stolen didn't really change.
Wow.
Her son had a cocaine habit.
Oh, okay.
And as far as we can tell, where the money was going was up her son's nose.
Boy, and she was supporting that?
She was.
Wow.
So it tells you a couple of things. First of all, it tells you what a cocaine habit costs.
Exactly. Which is, what, $84,000 a year?
And secondly, again, you can understand the futility of throwing a couple of extra dollars an hour at this problem.
Exactly. Yeah, because that would only
cover...
What
I think happens sometimes, unfortunately, is if a doctor pays their staff well, they assume that they've purchased the staff loyalty, and their vigilance goes down, and that becomes possibly an enabling factor in an embezzlement.
Boy. Yeah.
In other words, it has very little to do with employee behavior and a lot to do with how the dentist acts.
You know, I was really happy to have you on the show, and I'm starting to feel really bad right now.
I'm slowly ruining your day, aren't I?
Yeah. No, you're doing it pretty quick. We're only in the first half hour.
Okay.
But anyway, no, it is very interesting, and this is enlightening. So what should a dentist do if he or she suspects that someone might be embezzling from them? I mean, what can I do now, like on Monday? What should I do? And again, certainly you don't want to give me anything proprietary that might tip somebody off, but if it has to be off the air, tell me. But, you know, are there some things, some basic things that a dentist can do?
If you have concerns that somebody is stealing from you, the overarching advice I would give you is do not let them know that they're under suspicion.
Okay.
If somebody is stealing from you and they think they're about to get caught, their instinct for self-preservation is going to kick in.
Which means they stop temporarily?
That might be one thing. What I would do in that situation is I would think about how can I destroy evidence.
Oh, okay.
And the problem is that what they would consider to be evidence, you would consider to be your practice's vital information. I had a conversation with a dentist about 5 years ago, and I'll never forget this. And he asked me a few questions. He had some concerns about embezzlement. He decided not to retain us, and he went and did his own embezzlement investigation.
Okay.
If you can picture 30 angry bulls running around your dental office, that's probably what his investigation looked like.
Okay, it's kind of like doing your own root canal.
Yeah, it would be like doing your own root canal. And there was a thief, and she realized very quickly that she was about to get caught. So she came back that night and burnt down his office.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Really?
Making sure, of course, that all of his backup media were sitting right next to his computer when she torched the place.
Wow. Wow.
Now, there's a slight silver lining. She got caught on video doing this. By the pharmacy across the street and ended up going to jail for arson.
Okay.
But that certainly didn't help the poor dentist, who had to take out an ad in the local paper saying, records destroyed in fire. If you are a patient of this office, please contact us.
Wow, that is just awful. That's terrible. I didn't know that kind of stuff could happen.
I hesitate to even bring this one up, Dr. K, but I'll go one worse.
Okay.
Last year in Maryland, a woman pled guilty to murdering her dentist.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Over an embezzlement.
Yeah, my day's getting worse.
She had stolen apparently $17,000. She was concerned she would be caught. And she and her cousin allegedly came into the dentist's office after hours, knowing that he would be there, took him into the bathroom, and murdered him.
Over $17,000?
Well, it could have been more. I mean, $17,000 was the reported amount. And I think at the point when they had her on a murder charge, the embezzlement wasn't really worth pursuing.
Right. Wow. Wow.
In any case, she pled guilty in June of 2012. So, my emphatic advice, if you suspect something, is do not tip off the suspect.
Okay. And let's give out your information.
Tipping them
on
off
the air
can happen in all kinds of ways, and the easiest way is you come into them and you ask for a whole lot of reports that you from your practice management software that you never have asked for before.
Okay.
Or you sit in your private office with the door closed on the phone to your CPA for a long time, or one that's a pretty sure giveaway is that you phone the police and they send a few burly officers of either gender to your practice who have guns and radios.
Mm. Okay. So basically sounds like your advice is don't do your own root canal. Don't do it yourself. And let's give out your phone number and maybe contact information now, because I'm sure there are dentists listening as well, and dental students and so on, so that if they maybe want to mark it down just in case they start to get that sinking feeling that money's disappearing, how would they reach you?
There are two ways to reach us. The best way probably is our emergency email address, and it's pretty easy to remember. It's emergency@dentalembezzlement.com.
Emergency@dentalembezzlement.com, and then do you prefer that's what they do, or is there a phone number as well? Or?
Well, I'll give the phone number as well. The thing about the email address is that it is
24/7.
It is checked daily by an on-duty embezzlement investigator.
Okay.
So you can send an email to that address on a Sunday afternoon, and very typically you'll get a response the same day.
Emergency@dentalembezzlement.com.
That's right. Okay. The phone number is 888-398.
Okay.
2327.
Okay.
And that's staffed on East Coast business hours.
All right. Okay.
So if you phone that number right now, there's nobody to answer. But if you send an email to the emergency@dentalembezzlement.com, you will likely get a response today.
Okay. That's really good to know. All right. Now, we in a minute, we're going to do Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And before I do that, I always kind of remind folks what we've been talking about. So remember that according to Mr. David Harris, the CEO of Prosperident, 60% of dentists, or there's a 60% chance that a dentist will be embezzled from. It's a 60% chance over their career that they'll be embezzled from. Now, on today's show, we're going to have four winners, or at least up to four winners. Not all the listener lines don't all work sometimes, but one of you is going to receive free flowers from Vice Denver Florist, plus two tickets to today's Women's Expo, which takes place at the Lausche Building, Ohio Expo Center. Also, up to three more of you will receive two tickets to the Women's Expo. Don't call yet, but when it is time, I'll give you the question, and the phone number is 459-9769. But before we do the contest, I need you to listen to this. Okay.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
Okay, and so the question of the day is, according to my guest, Mr. Harris, the CEO of Prosperident, what percent of dentists, or rather, what percent is the chance of being embezzled from for a dentist is what percent? Is it A, 40%, B, 50%, C, 60%, or D, 70%? All right. The winner is going to receive free flowers from Vice Denver Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon, plus you'll get two tickets to the Women's Expo today. And up to three other callers will get two tickets to the Women's Expo today. So the number, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. Go ahead and call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
You made a resolution to have a better career in 2013. Let me help you. At Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School, we have new classes starting on April 13th and July 27th. Hi, this is Kendra, owner of Assist to Succeed of Columbus, located in the Dublin Plaza Shopping Center. Keeping some resolutions is hard. Getting a better career is easy, fast, and affordable at Assist to Succeed of Columbus's board-approved Dental Assisting School. You can train to become a dental assistant in just 10 Saturdays and real-world dental office, not a schoolroom, while many other schools will charge you $8,000 to $10,000 or more, plus books and lab fees. Assist to Succeed's dental assisting program is less than $5,000, and that covers everything. everything. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Again, courses are offered April 13th and July 27th. Don't delay. Space is limited and classes are filling up. Call me today at 740-602-1250 or go to assisttosucceedofcolumbus.com.
Hi, my name is Jeff. I've been a member at Premier at Saunal Athletic Club for quite a while. I wanted to do this radio spot because I love and believe in the club, and I know you will too. If you want to improve your health and fitness, relax by their pools, or wondering how to get the kids active, the friendly and professional staff at Premier will help you in every possible way. I think it's important to say, this club is incredibly clean. It's why Premier was voted number one fitness club in Columbus. Join in April for your summer membership and receive a free month. No contracts and no enrollment fees. Call 336-CLUB. That's 336-CLUB. Cheers.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko at aol.com. That's
And we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Today, our show is about dental embezzlement. We have the dental embezzlement guru on the phone with us, Mr. David Harris. And the question of the day was, or is, what is the percentage of a chance that a dentist is going to be embezzled from in their lifetime? We have four callers on hold. So we have lines 1 through 4. Mr. Harris, can you pick a number from 1 through 4?
3.
Number 3. Okay, let's go to number 3. We have Shirley. Shirley, what's your first of all, Shirley, what do you do for a living?
Work in healthcare.
Okay. All right. And Shirley, do you have the answer to today's question?
Yes, it's 60%.
60%. That's right. Okay. Shirley, hang on the phone, and we're going to get your information where to send the flowers. Now, for Melissa, Candy, and Angela, please also stay on the phone. By the way, well, you know what? We have, because it's today, I'm going to put your name on 2 tickets, and they'll be at the ticket booth when you walk in the door. Okay, because we don't have time to mail them to you, but I'm going to label them as we speak and just come to the Ohio Expo Center, Lausche Building, and when you walk in the front door, say, Dr. Kavitko left tickets for me. Okay? Our booth is right near there. So, and then if you have any problems, just call the office and have me paged, but I don't think you will. Okay, so Shirley, you hang on, and we'll get the address where those flowers are supposed to be sent, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right, so Mr. Harris, let's go back to our topic, which, as you can tell, I'm very intrigued by. Let me give this back to my producer so she can get the info. what's the most that anyone has ever embezzled from a dentist on a case that you've worked with?
Well, the biggest embezzlement I've ever seen was almost $2
million. $2
million?
Wow, how many years did it take?
$1.9 million.
How many years did it take them to embezzle that much?
That was about 6 years.
Wow, that's not very long. That's $300,000 a year or more. That's like more than $350,000 a year almost. Wow.
That's right. It was a big practice, in fairness, but yes, this person was taking hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Wow.
We have something in our office called the $500,000 Club, and this is just a place where we stick the pictures of embezzlers who we've seen steal over $500,000, and there's a pretty fair number of them. And after that, we started the $1 Million Club.
You actually have like a bulletin board with their
pictures on that wall too.
Wow. Wow. And I bet if you looked at those pictures, like if I came to your office and looked at those photos, none of them would look like criminals just on the surface. They would look like housewives and people that maybe are coming to Women's Expo today.
One of the most difficult parts of being embezzled from is that the person stealing from you is typically a little bit like extended family. Dental offices are small places with relatively few staff, and people get very close to each other. The other thing is that embezzlers are doing a lot of work that you mistake for being work on your behalf. In other words, these people are busy. They come in at night to, quote, finish their work. They're in your office sometimes on the weekends. And dentists tend to conclude that these are the hardest working people they've ever seen. Again, they're confusing working against you with working for you, because to most dentists, those two look pretty similar.
Wow. Wow. This is really eye-opening. What's the, what would you say the longest someone was able to embezzle from a dentist before they got caught?
We see 5 or 6 years pretty routinely. In terms of longer than that, I'd have to think back.
Okay.
We've probably seen cases where people have been embezzling for 7 or more years.
Okay.
For various reasons, we don't necessarily work backwards to find out when it started.
Okay.
In a lot of cases, our embezzlements are constrained by various sources of recovery available to the dentist, and there may not be any point in finding every nickel that somebody ever stole.
Yeah, because one of my questions is, does the dentist ever recoup these losses? And I think I might know the answer, which is no. I mean, they go to prison, so they're, quote, paying a debt to society, but it doesn't really help the dentist, other than they're no longer stealing.
That's true. There are a couple of other sources of recovery. One is most dentists have some amount of what's called employee dishonesty insurance.
Okay.
I think that in a lot of cases, what they have is inadequate. Typically, people have a default amount of $25,000.
That's all?
That's it. You can buy a higher amount by contacting the agent who sold you the insurance policy, and $75,000 or $100,000 of coverage is pretty easy to get.
Is that what
and
you I'd recommend?
I certainly encourage your listeners who are dentists to examine their policies and see if they should get more. So that's the first source of recovery. The second one is the perpetrators, and I think you're right, Dr. Kay. In a lot of cases, that's kind of like trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip. And there may be other sources. For example, if embezzlers are taking checks payable to you and putting them in their own bank account, in some states you may have recourse against the perpetrator's bank.
Okay, really? Because they're clearly, it was a fraudulent deposit.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good to
know. And so those are typically the sources of recovery. How much embezzlement is actually investigated and documented, because those things cost money, is really a function of what possible recovery could be obtained, and is it worth the effort to do so? In other words, if the only possible source of recovery in a certain case is $25,000 of employee dishonesty insurance coverage, then typically what a dentist is going to tell us is to pick the low-hanging fruit, document $25,000 and a little bit, and stop. And it doesn't necessarily become relevant whether somebody was stealing 7 years ago or not.
I see. Okay.
In other words, whether somebody stole in that situation $40,000 or $450,000 may not be all that relevant to our investigation, because there just isn't a point in having the dentist spend money to document embezzlement where there's just no possible recovery from that outlay.
I see. Yeah, the harsh reality. This is really interesting, and we have to go to a break, but I have so many more questions. I'm not even sure we're going to get them all in today, and may invite you back if you're willing, but hang with me, please. By the way, podcasts of these shows are available at dentallyspeaking.com, and you can get to dentallyspeaking.com also through drkavitko.com if you'd like. And stay with us. You're listening to Dentally Speaking. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help. So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now. now, 614-263-8661, 263-8661. Hi, it's Tricia Moore. When I created You at Your Best, it was not only to inspire myself, but you to change your lives for the better. We can't do it alone, right? I needed to choose a partner to help me, people with a history of success. I chose Premier at Sawmill Athletic Club. My trainer, James, and my group of fitness friends have given me solutions that make fitness work in my life. Stop thinking about where you should go. Make the call today. It's easy to see why Premier was voted number one fitness club in Columbus. Call for membership specials now. 336-CLUB, 336-2582.
If you love Asian cuisine, you owe it to yourself to try Wang's Teriyaki Asian Takeout Restaurant. Known for their better quality and lower prices, at Wang's Teriyaki, you can eat in, pick up your food for carryout, or let them deliver their delicious entrees right to your home, as fresh as if the chef cooked it on the grill right in front of you. Wang's Teriyaki is conveniently located at 4330 North High Street in Clintonville. Call them at 614-261-8881. That's 614-261-8881. Wang's Teriyaki, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
All right, we're back, and this is Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and on the phone with me from Halifax, you said, Mr. Harris?
Yes, I did.
Halifax, okay. Halifax, is that in Ontario? Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia is the province.
Okay.
Although I should mention the majority of our investigators live scattered pretty much across the United States.
Because
our head office is Canada, and we have a few employees here, but most of our investigators live and work in the U.S.
Okay. And so are the perpetrators living all over the United States, so it makes sense that you're all over the place. Mr. Harris is the CEO of Prosperident. And by the way, when I first saw that name, the name of your company, I thought it was a practice management company, a company that would maybe help a dentist be more productive, make more money or something. I didn't realize it was trying to help them hang on to what they've already produced. but anyway, okay, so now, after you get contacted by a dentist, they believe they're being embezzled from, how long does it usually take you to catch the perpetrator?
Our typical embezzlement cycle is about six, investigation cycle is about 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, 6 to 8 weeks, and then that's how long it takes you to have enough information that you can go to the authorities?
That's right. It may happen sooner, but that's kind of the planned sequence. As I mentioned before, stealth is important here. It's vital that the perpetrator not know that the investigation is happening, and our whole methodology is built around keeping that stealth. For
right.
example, it's very rare where we actually visit an office that's being embezzled from.
Oh, okay.
Most of our work is done remotely. And that just reduces the chance of an inadvertent discovery by the suspect.
Got it. Okay. But that's actually good news because you're able to stop the bleeding, so to speak, within, in about 2 months max.
That's right. And sometimes it's faster. We have a backload of cases that we're getting ready to assign to investigators. We've got, I think now, 12 investigators. Again, scattered all over the continent. And these folks are specialized. For example, if somebody's using, let's say, EagleSoft practice management software, then we have a group within our company that do EagleSoft investigations. And these are people who are very familiar with that software.
Okay.
On the other hand, if it's an orthodontist who calls us, we also have a group that specializes in investigating orthodontic embezzlement because the methodologies and the way it looks, and the software are quite different than what goes on in general dental offices.
I see. What percent of embezzlers do you think go undetected?
Well, that's a toughie. I couldn't hazard a guess.
If it's about 60, we have a 60% chance of being embezzled from, it sounds like about, does that mean about, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. There's no way for you to know that, but
one of those things that's unknowable. I don't think anybody knows that.
Okay. Guess I was trying to make a case, hoping to make a case for somebody who was thinking about embezzling, don't do it because you're going to get caught. But we don't know. Okay. Now,
that's right.
What are some of the warning signs that a dentist should look for? I mean, obviously, maybe a it being tough to pay bills would be one. Of course, we already touched on the fact that it could just be they didn't make enough that month. But let's say that their production seems to be normal and yet they're having a little trouble paying bills. Are there some warning signs, or how would they know to think embezzlement?
What we tell people to do, and I have to say I disagree with a lot of the advice that dentists are given in this area.
Okay, good. Let's
there's a lot written on embezzlement in dentistry, and a fair amount of it is written by people I would describe as generalist consultants who have found that dentists are quite attentive to the topic of embezzlement. So these are people who aren't embezzlement investigators, whose contact with embezzlement has been pretty small, and yet they write articles and sometimes speak at dental conferences and things about embezzlement. And what they try to do in general is turn dentists into what I once referred to as ill-equipped, undertrained auditors in their practices.
Okay.
And some of these people publish these very long lists of things that they think dentists should check every month. There's one list that I look at. It has 92 items on it. And conservatively, Dr. K, these would take 30 hours a month for you to check.
Right, we've already established. I don't have
sure
that time.
I'm pretty sure if I came to you and said, you know what, you can stop embezzlement if you check these 92 items each month, you'd say to me, David, it's not worth it. I will play the lottery and hope that I'm in the 40%.
Exactly.
What we encourage people to do instead of trying to find financial clues to embezzlement is to look for the behavioral indicators. When somebody's stealing from you, they behave in a certain way. It's fairly predictable. It's also readily observable and fortunately a bit difficult to conceal. Embezzlers, for example, typically don't want to take vacations.
Oh, okay, because they're afraid somebody's going to discover it while they're gone.
The success of their crime depends on controlling information.
Okay.
And as soon as they go away for 2 weeks, they can't control what happens in the office during that time, and that's the point when their embezzlement might easily surface. They don't want to cross-train people to do their jobs. They're territorial about their computer and their workspace.
Okay.
There are a lot of things like that, and if you know what you're looking for in the behavioral area, most of the time you can spot an embezzler fairly quickly.
Now, see, until you said that, I was thinking it would be the people that did take vacation, that they'd be taking these lavish vacations with money that I would wonder where they got it. Maybe they got it from their husband. Maybe their parents left them some money, is what I would have assumed. But you're saying they don't take vacation because they then lack the control of keeping the secret.
That's right. If the whole office is closed, and, for example, some offices close in the last week of December, they don't mind going away then.
Oh, okay.
But this is the person that when the phone rings and it's a patient who wants to complain about an anomaly in their statement, this is the person who wants to be on the other end of the phone, who can reassure the patient that it was some kind of computer glitch or clerical error or something, so that the patient doesn't feel a need to talk to the dentist personally about it. And as soon as they go away, they can't do that anymore.
Got it. Okay.
One of the biggest embezzlements we ever investigated came to light when the thief broke her leg skiing on a weekend.
Really?
And couldn't be there on Monday morning, and there was a fill-in receptionist taking her place. And the fill-in came in to see the doctor about 11 o'clock in the morning and said, "Doctor, there's something strange going on here."
She could tell that
and
quick?
She'd gotten about four calls from patients that just seemed bizarre.
Okay, interesting.
Had the thief gotten the same four calls, the thief would have just made them go away. And they never would have come to the attention of the doctor, but with the thief gone,
wow,
her replacement caught the problem.
I'm assuming what she learned is something you'll have to tell me off the air?
I'd be happy to tell you off the air.
Okay, good. Well, then don't hang up when we're done here, because I have those couple questions. Okay, now we do have to go to our last break, and when we come back, we're going to have about 5-6 minutes to get a few more questions in and do a wrap-up. But hey, before we go to a break, let me remind folks, like I said at the beginning, we still need help with our Team Smile event on May 3rd, and we still need a couple dentists, we need a couple hygienists, dental assistants, we need a TJ, we even need a person to make balloon animals for the kids to entertain them. So you can, if you can help at all, please call my office, 262-9588. and we'd really, really appreciate it. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He could put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Decide Dentistry, the leader in high-quality cosmetic and restorative dentistry in Central Ohio, now offers the latest technology, fast braces. It's fast, safe, and affordable compared to traditional braces. This new technology of fast braces allows for less treatment time, and that means the patients save time and money, achieving the best smile possible. Dr. Desai is also a provider of six-month smiles and Invisalign. She's very well known for her crown and bridge work, too. Visit DecideDentistry.com. Dr. Desai Dentistry, brightening lives one smile at a time.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers is the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
You made a resolution to have a better career in 2013. Let me help you. At Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School, we have new classes starting on April 13th and July 27th. Hi, this is Kendra, owner of Assist to Succeed of Columbus, located in the Dublin Plaza Shopping Center. Keeping some resolutions is hard. Getting a better career is easy, fast, and affordable at Assist to Succeed of Columbus's board-approved Dental Assisting School. You can train to become a dental assistant in just 10 Saturdays and a real-world dental office, not a schoolroom, while many other schools will charge you $8,000 to $10,000 or more. Plus books and lab fees, Assist to Succeed's dental assisting program is less than $5,000, and that covers everything. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Again, courses are offered April 13th and July 27th. Don't delay. Space is limited and classes are filling up. Call me today at 740-602-1250 or go to Assist to Succeed of Columbus.
All right, and we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We are with the dental embezzlement guru, Mr. David Harris. He is the CEO of Prosperident. And Prosperident, if you're a dentist and you feel like you might be being embezzled from, you can, there is a number, there's an email address he's given us. It's emergency@dentalembezzlement.com. Somebody monitors it 24 hours a day. So you can call that, or rather send an email there, and you'll receive a phone call, right, Mr. Harris? Or will they
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So they don't just...
Actually, typically we respond by email, but you'll certainly hear from somebody within 24 hours.
Okay. Hey, as I said, we're running out of time. Why do people do this? Do they think dentists are easy marks? Do they hate their boss? What is the reason that you usually are given once you catch them?
I think in general it's far more related to the thief's own situation than the dentist.
Okay, so it's not like they hate the dentist.
I think they give very little thought to the dentist.
Okay, it's just they're either the needy or the greedy, and they weren't thinking that it was hurting, I guess.
It's I need or I want.
Got it.
And these people typically don't see some other criminal options as an alternative. In other words, most of the thieves would never think of
robbing a bank,
going down Main Street with a brick and hitting people over the head and taking their wallets.
Yeah. Now, how cooperative have you found law enforcement in pursuing these folks, and what kind of punishment is handed down once you catch them?
Well, I have my personal view, and I think that society is somewhat lenient with white-collar criminals, but I can understand the context. In most cities, there's at least perceived to be an issue of violent crime, and I think most of us understand at some level that that's what law enforcement tends to focus on, and stealing some money from somebody who most people consider already to be a somewhat privileged member of society just isn't viewed in the in the same light as a stabbing would be.
Right, right. And I guess I understand both sides of that, but it's still they should be punished harshly, I think.
No, I don't disagree, but the amount of resources that law enforcement is prepared to devote to this is relatively small. The other issue is that investigation of an embezzlement is very technical, and the ability of any police department I've ever seen to do any kind of meaningful investigation of this type of embezzlement is zero. So law enforcement is really in the position, unlike, let's say, a stabbing where they have the in-house resources to do it, where they need somebody like us to do the primary investigation for them, give them the information, and then they make a decision about what to do with it next.
Okay. Hey, thank you for that. I am out of time, and hang on the phone, because maybe I do want to ask you those couple questions, and maybe we can do it again sometime. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Come out and see us at the Women's Expo. Next week's show, I'll have John DeCristo of Boostability.com, an expert in search engine optimization for business websites, on the show with me, and we'll see you next Sunday at 8.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.